The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
And it is the Pat Kenny Show with Anton in for Pat. Last weekend, the European Union finalised an updated free trade agreement proposal with four Mercosur countries, those being, of course, Brazil, Argentina, Paraguay and Uruguay. The deal would need to be ratified by at least 15 of the EU member states, representing 65% of the population. So what's new in the deal and what, if any, are likely to be the sticking points in getting it ratified? Charles Litchfield, Deputy Director of the Geoeconomic Centre at the Atlantic Council, joins us now. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning.
Charles, this has been a long time in coming and it covers a range of things, both imports from the Mercosur countries, whatever tariffs may or may not be on them, and likewise exports into them. I assume the proposal that now goes before the member states, there is no turning on any element of it. It's take it or leave it.
To an extent, that's true. The deal can be separated out between the core trade elements and the investment elements. Those are always a little bit thornier. But for the trade, for goods and services, at this point, it is sort of take it or leave it, yes. I would say, though, that some of the tariffs and the reductions in tariffs are phased in, so they don't all come in at the beginning. For automotives, I think Mercosur got protections in that means they come in over more than a decade. And then another protection for the EU side is that there are some quotas. So the tariffs go down on some agricultural products, but only within quotas.
And as I understand it, some of those tariffs match overarching policy, particularly ecological policy. So if you look at automobiles as case in point, there is a different tariff rate or different planned tariff amortization depending on whether it's internal combustion or electric.
Yes, absolutely. The one complaint made on the EU side by environmental groups is that the EU is moving very fast to electric vehicles and Mercosur doesn't have the same rules. So this is sort of a loophole that EU producers may use to export extra internal combustion engines to Mercosur because they won't be demanded in the EU. That may be true, but the tariff is lower for EVs, yes.
Let's look then at pros and cons. The purported advantages from an EU perspective are what?
Well, they're sort of twofold. The EU institutions, people who work there, tend to believe that freer trade is good in the long run anyway. Cheaper access to goods, markets can specialize in what they do best, and you have more efficient supply chains. And so these are two big markets with relatively similar philosophies and outlooks. Perhaps slightly less committed to the environment in Mercosur than the EU, but overall they feel that it's a good idea just to open their markets to each other. And then the second goal at this point, which wouldn't have been uttered a few years ago when talking about trade, is more geopolitical. Why should we allow Mercosur, or why should we, the EU, the feeling would be, not have more of a generous offer to Mercosur when especially Chinese firms are investing very heavily and especially investing in the processing of critical minerals and other resources.
And they are so, a very significant trading bloc, aren't they?
Mercosur?
Yes.
Yes, very much so. But the influence that the Chinese firms have in Mercosur is growing, and the EU feels that if it doesn't make a more generous offer to Mercosur in terms of market access to the EU, EU influence and the influence of EU firms will wane. So that's the sort of second objective the EU has here.
The EU has some challenges on its hands, though, because for some states, some of the imports are going to provide significant issues, particularly to France and to Ireland when it comes to things like Brazilian beef.
Yes, and it seems very likely that both the French and the Irish governments will vote against the deal. That's not quite enough to have a blocking minority, but it's close. And if you have Poland and Italy joining them, then at this point, I think the deal will not pass. So there are different opinions on whether this poses a huge problem to Irish, French, Italian and Polish farmers. I mentioned earlier that there are some quotas involved in the deal, and the EU institutions would agree that would argue that that's enough to protect the interests of EU farmers. But there are obviously different opinions out there.
Because the EU argument is that the overall contribution that these imports would make to the total beef consumption across the member states is very small in percentage terms. And a lot of it is frozen beef rather than fresh beef, and therefore not necessarily a major competition. A view I suspect a lot in the farming community in France and Ireland would disagree with.
They disagree with it. Another stat that the EU has put out there, which was convincing to some but not to beef farmers, is that their estimate is that this will lead to the import of an additional steak per European per year from Mercosur. So not something that really changes the market that much. But to be fair to the farmers that oppose this, there's a question of the quantity that's imported and there's also the quality. Their feeling is that farmers in Mercosur do not have to comply with the same standards as they do. So they have a sort of competitive advantage. And they'd also argue that it's better for the health of European citizens if all beef that's imported complies with the same standards. The EU would argue that this deal actually means that those standards will be imposed in Mercosur. And recent scandals over beef not complying with those standards in Mercosur, you wouldn't have those because the deal would allow the EU to verify. But that's another argument that farmers in the EU are using, that the compliance isn't the same in Mercosur.
If it does come to pass that the deal doesn't get ratified, what are the implications for the EU as a bloc?
I think it does put out a message that the EU, even the EU, which has traditionally managed to increase its influence in the world by being a big bloc, an attractive bloc that people want to sell into, and by doing trade deals, it sends a message that the EU is no longer capable of doing that. And I think it comes at a really interesting juncture in the history of trade, in that the US will be putting up additional barriers. We don't know how strong, and so far Trump hasn't said exactly how high the tariff applied to the EU will be, but the expectation is that trade will become more difficult with the US. That will also happen to Mercosur. So some would argue this is a good time for both Mercosur and the EU to be doing more trade with each other, given things are becoming more difficult with the US and the Chinese economy isn't doing very well either. So if this deal doesn't pass, it sends a message that the EU finds it difficult to do these deals now, and therefore its influence and the sort of predictability for its firms will be less good.
If you were a betting man, Charles?
Whether it goes through or not?
Whether it goes through.
I think it looks difficult. I think it's looking difficult at this point because Poland is probably going to vote against and Italy is on the fence. I think it will probably not pass at this point.
We will see. Charles, thank you very much. Charles Litchfield, Deputy Director of the Geoeconomic Centre at the Atlantic Council. 53106 if you want to get in touch with the show, or you can get us on WhatsApp for free at 087 1400 106.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.